Streaming live on our website at radiomaria.us, on the Radio Maria USA mobile app, on your telephone at 1-631-359-8743, and on the radio in Florida on 91.9 FM WMKL in Hammocks, Miami, in Louisiana on 580 AM KJMJ in Alexandria, 1360 AM KNIR in New Iberia, 89.7 FM KBIO in Natchitoches, and 91.1 FM KOJO in Lake Charles. In Mississippi on 88.1 FM WOLM in D'Iberville, Biloxi. In Ohio on 1600 AM WULM in Springfield, with translator W277AO 103.3 FM in Enon, Dayton, and 88.7 FM WHJM in Anna. In Pennsylvania on 88.1 FM WHHN in Hollidaysburg, Altoona. In Texas on 1250 AM KDEI in Port Arthur. And in Wisconsin at 91.3 FM WRMW in Peshtigo.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Larry, from Radio Maria. I want to welcome everyone, all priests, deacons, sisters, brothers and sisters of divine will and oblates to this, the School of Mary. The kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalm, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. We're going to be using a supplication from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, Day 31. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms, and as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. O Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So good afternoon, Mother and sisters. It's a joy to be here, joy to be alive.
Everybody out there. Yeah. Hello.
I mean, how beautiful. You know, we sort of go to bed at night and we rest our head and we sort of slip into a coma or near death. And then our blessed Lord wakes us up, the divine will wakes us up in the morning. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah.
what a miracle that happens every day. You know, Mother, we've been getting a lot of feedback lately about some anxiety, some nervousness that's going on, of course, because the world is being traumatized right now from the inside as well as the outside. And, you know, I was thinking, some people said also, well, you know, Louisa never experienced that, but actually she did. I'd like to quote something, if I may, to begin. It's from the childhood memories. And, you know, we talk about growing to know Louisa, which is important. Very, very important. In fact, it's crucial. And the Vatican came out with a biography of the Son of My Will in 2015. It's a great book, absolutely great. But to really understand Louisa, not from a third party's perspective, but from herself, either her letters or her childhood memories, I think are two of the greatest ways to really get to know her. So what she said in the childhood memories, quote, "Now, after becoming a daughter of Mary," well, again, we know how important Mary is. So as soon as she becomes the daughter of Mary at the age of 11, she wanted to pray and meditate. And she was caught up by fear and was about to run to her family. She was about to leave when I felt a strength in my interior holding me back. In the depth of my soul, I heard a voice telling me, quote, "Why do you fear? Your angel is by your side. Jesus is in your heart, and your heavenly mother keeps you under her mantle. So why do you fear? Who is stronger, your guardian angel, your Jesus, and your heavenly mother, or the infernal enemy? So do not flee, but stay, pray, and do not fear." End quote. So this interior voice that gave Louisa strength and resolve actually dissipated her fear. It went away. And Jesus explains, you know, Mother, that, you know, while this process, this transformation, this transmutation is happening in each and every one of us because of our journey to the divine will, God is changing us from the inside out. So the inside is becoming so protected that Satan cannot get inside. So he's going to use the peripheral. He's going to use the outside to cause disturbances. And how he does he do that? Well, sometimes he'll give us frightening thoughts. He'll give us frightening images. The fear is coming from the outside, but that can be squashed. It's the internal fear that we have to worry about, I think, because that's what paralyzes us. Any thoughts on that, Mother?
Yeah, I think, you know, living in the divine will is in the soul. You know, the body reacts. We have passions, you know. Don't feel guilty about your fears, you know. I mean, you try to protect yourself from those fears by maybe not watching the news, by not reading things on internet that could disturb your soul, reading holy good things that will lift your mind and heart up to God. And what do we have to fear anyway? Because life is short. Eternity is forever. We're here to prepare for the next world. If we suffer a little bit down here, it's nothing compared to the great glory that God has in store for each one of us in heaven, you know? So, you know, the suffering we may have to go through, God is going to use that to give us a higher place in heaven if we resign ourselves to it, if we suffer what we have to suffer with grace, with love, with resignation. I was just reading here, you know, our Lord suffered so much, and this was in 1899. He was speaking to Louisa in volume, this was volume 7, volume 7, no, volume 2. It was April the 7th. And our Lord said, "Take a look at how I am suffering. Look at my head. The thorns have penetrated so deep that they no longer show outside." So the thorns were so far into his head that was not a bit of the thorn showing on the outside. "Do you see how many gashes and blood cover my body? Come close to me. Give me a refreshment." So as we suffer too, our Lord wants us to suffer with him, suffer. He suffers with us, but he wants to continue his redemptive suffering in each one of us. And when we suffer, he was asking Louisa to alleviate his suffering by her taking suffering on herself. So when we suffer, we could feel like we were alleviating his pain and suffering because he's suffering for souls. And by our suffering, we help to save souls. Goes on further to say, "By occupying myself with the pains of Jesus, I forgot about my own a little bit. And so I started from his head. Oh, how harrowing it was to see those thorns so sunk into his flesh that one could not pull them out. While I was doing that, Jesus would lament. So great was the pain he suffered. After I pulled that crown of thorns off, all broken, I put it together again. And knowing that the greatest pleasure one can give Jesus is to suffer for him, I took it and I drove it into my head. Then he had me kiss his wounds one by one. And in some of them, he wanted me to suckle the blood. I was trying to do everything he wanted, though in mute silence. When the Most Holy Virgin came and told me, 'Ask Jesus what he wants to make of you.'" So, you know, Jesus suffered so much. She goes on and on to talk about his suffering in every part of his body. But the little suffering that we have is nothing compared to what he suffered and suffers continually through the loss of souls in Our Lady. In their humanity, somehow they can suffer on it. In his divinity, but somehow there is pain there, and he wants us to alleviate his pain by taking it upon ourselves. I think because when we take pain upon ourselves, we're helping save souls, and that alleviates his pain because his great suffering is the loss of souls. He loves each one so much, you know. So I think that during this time, Holy Week is coming up on us now. We can really meditate on the passion of our Lord and suffer with him as you go through the passion book. Read the passion book if you have one and put yourself in his position. And then your sufferings are not going to be so big. Your sufferings are going to be very small compared to his. And when I look at what's going to happen, when I think about what's going to happen, and I know things will get very bad, I look at the good that's going to come out of it. And our Lord told Louisa, when she said, "How could you suffer so much on the cross as you did?" He said, I didn't look, I didn't look at my sufferings or think of my sufferings. I thought of the good it was going to produce, the salvation of souls. So we can look at what's God going to do with this purification of the world and the church. He's going to bring about a much better world, much better life for everybody. The world can't continue as it is, even if without wars, even without all these chastisements that are going to come our way. If the world continued as it is, there's so many more people that are going to suffer and lose their souls. So we have to look at the great good that's going to come out of purification, a new world, lots of grace coming for the souls who will continue to live. We have to look at that. What did God do in the time of Noah? He had to clean house. He had to get rid of them all to start all over again. And many of those souls, most of them were saved. And Anne Catherine Emmerich, I remember reading, she said that if they would have continued to live, most of them would have lost their souls for the life they were living. But they were drowning. And the moment they were drowning, they became so afraid. They opened their hearts to God. They got that special grace. And she said, when he went to limbo, they were all leaving, most of those souls that had died in the deluge were leaving limbo and going to heaven to be with him. So, we have to look at the good of the chastisement. Then we don't feel so bad about it. We know it has to come. We have to be willing to suffer for the good of the world, for the good of the church, so that the future generations can have a better life, a better world to live in, and more souls will be saved that way. But, with abortions, with this child trafficking, all this crazy stuff going on in science, all the crazy things they're doing, the world can't go on like it is. God has to do something. So it's love. It's his love that's going to allow the things to happen that will happen so that the world can change to be a better place to live in. And the future generations will have a wonderful world to live in, and they will fall in love with God. They will hopefully live in divine will, and Our Lady's Immaculate Heart will triumph. So I see a lot of good that's going to come out of what's coming our way.
Yeah, absolutely. I see that as well. And it's interesting. You mentioned about the Hours of the Passion. If you can, when you procure a set of the Hours of the Passion, make sure that it has the reflections of St. Hannibal, because it's really so vital. Here you have reflections, a summary in essence, advice from a saint, not just Louisa's confessor, but he was also the confessor of Melody Calvert, the seer of Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition. So again, you've got a saint's words there. Besides that, the Hours of the Passion, I believe, was given, St. Hannibal gave the Nihil Obstat, which is the church's stamp of approval. So again, you've got every reason to read it and every reason not, you have no reasons not to read it. Sister?
I was actually going to read a passage from the Hours of the Passion. It's from the seventh hour from 11 p.m. to midnight, the third hour of agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. And I particularly love this hour because Louisa, together with Our Lady, brings Our Lord's precious blood to all different groups of souls that need it. And basically she covers everyone because we all need Our Lord's precious blood. But I'm just going to take a couple of paragraphs because like Mother was saying, the greatest comfort we can give to Jesus is souls. And like she was also saying, like everything that he permits in the world is for the sake of souls, is for as many souls to be saved as possible. And I think when things go crazy in the world and there's a lot of suffering and there's a lot of things going on, we can be tempted to focus on those things when really what our Lord was asking Louisa to do, and she lived through two world wars, what she wanted her to do and what he wants us to do is pray for souls to help him in this battle. We're in there's war going on, but we're constantly in a spiritual battle. So we really need to, I was thinking about fear before. Our fear is a gift because we have to continue to abandon ourselves in the Lord. When we feel fear, we realize we can't do anything on our own. And it's really Jesus allowing that fear in us to say, come to me. Yeah, you can't do anything, but I am your refuge. Our Lady said, my Immaculate Heart is your refuge. And then to focus on what I'm doing, which is for the sake of souls. So, this is Louisa in the seventh hour of the Hours of the Passion. Let us continue to go around and let us enter into the rooms of the dying. My mama, what terror! How many souls are about to fall into hell? How many after a life of sin want to give the last sorrow to that heart, repeatedly pierced, by crowning their last breath with an act of desperation? Many demons are around them, striking into their hearts terror and fright of the divine judgments, and therefore wage against them the final assault to lead them to hell. They would want to unleash the infernal flames in order to enwrap them and therefore prevent the rising of hope. Others entangled by the bonds of the earth are unable to resign themselves to take the last step. Please, oh mama, the moments are extreme. They need much help. Don't you see how they tremble, how they wriggle about in the midst of the spasms of agony, how they ask for help and for pity? The earth has already disappeared for them. Holy mama, place your maternal hand upon their ice-cold forehead. Receive their last breaths. Let us give the blood of Jesus to each of the dying, so that putting the demons to flight, they may dispose them to all to receive the last sacraments and to a good and holy death. For comfort, let us give them the agonies of Jesus, his kisses, his tears, his wounds. Let us tear the snares which keep them entangled. Let us make everyone hear the word of forgiveness, and let us place such confidence in their heart as to make them fling themselves into the arms of Jesus. When Jesus will judge them, he will find them covered with his own blood, abandoned in his arms, and so he will give his forgiveness to all. Let us continue to go around, O mama. Let your maternal gaze look with love to the earth and be moved to compassion for many poor creatures who need this blood. My mama, I feel pushed to run by the searching gaze of Jesus because he wants souls. I hear his moans in the depths of my heart, repeating to me, my child, help me, give me souls. And I just love this passage because it's so important that we pray for dying souls. I mean, for all souls, but especially dying souls, because that's the last moment. You know, after the death, there's no changing, you know, whether they're going to go to heaven or hell, or stopping in purgatory. So we really need to pray for these souls for their sake, but especially for Jesus who wants them so much. And to believe that our prayers are powerful, especially our prayers in the divine will. And it's particularly important. What I love about this passage too, it reminds us that we have to pray for all souls to be saved. You know, if these souls were on the verge of going to hell, there probably weren't such nice souls, nice people that we would particularly like in the world, people that particularly did good things. But Jesus wants them all, and we have to want them all. And you know, we're about to enter into Holy Week, and I'm reminded of one of the last words of Jesus to the good thief, you know, today you'll be with me in paradise. You know, in one of the gospel passages, he, along with the other thief, was reviling Jesus. Like, up until moments of his conversion, he was still living in his sin. But I believe, you know, through the prayers of Our Lady and through everything that Jesus was doing, he won his salvation, and we have to be the same. We can't look at anyone with disdain. We can, you know, obviously judge actions and say things are right or wrong, but every soul is precious to God, and we have right. to pray for each and every one.
That's true. You mentioned about, you know, to seize the opportunity, in essence, you know, right now, the time we have now. And, you know, St. Thomas Aquinas speaks about this, you know, because if you think about it, now with the gift of the divine will, God is bringing heaven down to earth. So it's a heavenly movement that we now have the opportunity for. So St. Thomas Aquinas says, quote, "The heavenly movement will end in an instant. And in that instant, there will be the end of movement and the beginning of eternal rest." End quote. So yeah, we only have, again, our probation here on earth is limited. We don't know exactly when the expiration is, but God does. And we have to take full advantage of it. And we've talked about this too, Mother and sisters, about some of the messages that the souls in purgatory have conveyed to mystics, that their regret, if they had one or could have one, is that they didn't make better use of the time while on earth. You know, to cut away those frivolous things. I mean, I 90% of my day used to be frivolous. I mean, and I didn't realize that was good. But you know, we examine, we can't invent more hours of the day, but we can make better use of the time. Mothers, sisters.
One frivolous thing that the society gets caught up in today is TV and internet. Good. You can, that's very, you know, Louisa, she didn't have computers. She didn't have a TV. You know, we use up so much time. We have to answer to God for that loss of time. If it's not for something holy, that we were looking at the TV or the internet to help us grow in holiness. And we have to ask our Lord, what does he want us to do regarding these things? If we're going to live in divine will, we have to do his will. I was just reading here. It was volume 4, It was 1901 and April the 7th. My humanity received so much glory by means of perfect obedience, which destroying the ancient nature completely gave me back the new nature, glorious and immortal. In the same way, by means of obedience, the soul can form within her the perfect resurrection of virtue to virtues. For example, if the soul is afflicted, obedience will make her rise again to joy. If restless, obedience will make her rise again to peace. If tempted, obedience will administer to her the strongest chain with which to bind the enemy, and will make her rise again victorious over the diabolical snares. If she is besieged by passions and vices, by killing them, obedience will make her rise again to virtues. This is this to the soul, and in due time, it will also form the resurrection of the body. After this, the light withdrew, Jesus disappeared, and I am left with such sorrow, seeing myself without him again. But, you know, we have to realize, what do we do? You know, what do we do regarding television, internet? You can ask our Lord, do you want me to spend time on this right now? Is this something according to your will that I should be doing right now? Should I watch the news tonight? Or would you prefer me doing something else? What does God want me to do at this moment? Obedience. And if you live in obedience to him and his will, you're going to grow in all these virtues. You're going to have a glorious life. Things will be much easier for you. We give in to ourselves concerning food, things we shouldn't have, things we do things we shouldn't do, and we suffer for it in the end, because we don't follow his will. What does he want us to do at every moment of our lives? And then we'll have peace and joy and grow in that great holiness that he's calling us to live in, because he wants nothing more for us to be with him for all eternity in heaven.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, we can't be too scrupulous about it. And you talked about that also, Mother. Sort of like being being in the ocean and allowing the wakes just to take us up and down. It helps us to be attentive. And God moves us, I think, in that motion, not necessarily speaking to us, although some he does directly. But I think that motion sort of, you know, have you ever been in water and then sort of you find yourself drifting to the right? Hey, how'd I get over here? The water gently took us. And I think that's what our Lord does, Sister.
I think too, with the prayer life, if you have a prayer life, you know, you can be more sensitive to what does God want me to do at every moment. And you do that. You know what you shouldn't be doing and what you should.
Yeah. Right. I just want to say,
very good point.
Sorry. I just want to say a quick line that I had heard about, you were saying about, you know, we can't create more hours in the day. Somebody said, well, the saints, when we complain that we don't have enough time to do everything we want to do, if we don't have time to become saints, well, all the saints had the same amount of hours in the day. So we really have no excuse.
No, there's no excuse. It's a flat out lie. Yeah, it's true. Very true. I like that.
Okay, well, if we have time, I'll just another little passage here. Our Lord would say, my daughter's patience, in certain days, your pains are necessary to me more than ever, so that the whole world may not be reduced to a flame. Therefore, I want to make you suffer more. And with the lance which he had in his hand, he ripped her heart open. I suffered very much, but I felt happy, thinking that Jesus was sharing his pains with me and pouring himself out with me. He could spare the people's the imminent and terrible chastisement that will burst out. Then, after some hours of intense pains, my lovable Jesus told me, my beloved daughter, you suffer very much. Come then into my will to take refreshment, and let us pray together for poor humanity. So know that your pain bears much fruit. If you suffer it well, suffer it with resignation, knowing that God is doing great things. You may not feel it and understand and see what God's doing with your soul as you suffer for humanity, but he's saving many souls. Much good comes to the world through that. And we have to believe that, because our Lord tells that to us through the volumes.
Yeah. And then you mentioned patience also, Mother, that, you know, I think we mentioned this last week on the program. The incredible knowledge of the virtue of patience. This comes from volume 4, January 31st, 1901. And Jesus explains the greatness of this virtue of patience. This caught me by surprise. Quote, as I was in my usual state, my sweet Jesus was not coming. And then after much waiting, I saw him just a little. And he told me, my daughter, patience is superior to purity, because without patience, the soul easily unbridles, and it is difficult for her to remain pure. And when a virtue needs another virtue in order to have life, the second one is called superior to the first. Even more, it can be said that patience is custody of purity. Not only this, but it is the staircase to ascend to the mountain of fortitude in such a way that if one went up without the staircase of patience, he would immediately fall from the highest point to the lowest. In addition to this, patience is the seed of perseverance, and this seed produces branches called firmness. Oh, how firm and stable is the good she has started is the patient soul. She pays no attention either to rain, nor to frost, nor to ice, nor to fire, but all her attention is on bringing to completion the good she has started. In fact, there is no greater foolishness than the one who today does something good because he likes it, and tomorrow he neglects it because he finds no more pleasure in it. What would one say if an eye, which at one hour possesses sight, and another is blind? Or a tongue which now speaks and then is mute? Ah, yes, my daughter Louisa, patience alone is the secret key to open the treasure of virtues. Without the secret of this key, the other virtues do not come out to give life to the soul and to ennoble her. End quote. So patience is a virtue, and it's actually the greatest virtue, as our blessed Lord states. That caught me by surprise. What didn't catch me by surprise is that you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our home. This is the School of Mary with Mother Gabriel Maria and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will coming to us live from Italy. And it's so great because we finally arrived. We're finally going back to the other side. Finally.
Dream.
You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you again, Larry. That was Christina Lenway with the song Finally, which is so apropos to where we are now. Well, we finally come back. We had the opportunity to go back to the other side. You know, Mother, Sister, we're talking about, well, we began the program talking about, you know, there's a sense of fear in the world, and again, for some good reason, but concern, I think, is a better word than fear, but there is fear. And there's been talk about, you know, what do we have to do and seeking places of refuge. And I think all of that is encapsulated in the gift of living in the divine will. It's all self-contained. In fact, we've talked about that the greatest refuge we can run to initially would be the mantle of the blue mantle of Our Lady, because it's she that will help us determine what we have to do and what not. But I have a little bit of a quick quote here, if I may, regarding this refuge and, you know, this fear in essence. It's from volume 33, November 4th, 1935. Short quote. I'm going to read a quote. "The one who possesses our volition, our works, my whole life that I pass down here, finds the refuge, the space, the room for where to be able to continue my life." I botched that. I'll read that again. "Finds the refuge, the space, the room for where to be able to continue my life, my works, and the soul acquires the practicing act and converts into her nature the works of my life. In fact, this creature is the refuge of our sanctity and of our love and of the life of our will. And when our love, not being able to contain it, wants to give in excesses, we find refuge in her. And we give outlet to our love. And we pour forth such Christmas of graces that the heavens are amazed and trembling. They adore our divine will operating in the creature." So, yeah, end quote. So, you know, it's interesting, Mother, as we're, you know, sometimes thinking about seeking refuge for us, God is saying, "I'm, you know, you come to me and I'm going to come in you." Yeah, it's this reciprocity. And again, we go back to Sister Francesca about a year or so ago, you know, use the word, the divine will is the reciprocal of love. And in essence, if we just take that explanation or definition, there's so many offshoots and branches off of that, that we can go on forever. And we will. This is going to be our job. We're going to be in the kindergarten for the rest of eternity. And that's a pretty good proposition, Mother, right? I think you're muted, Mother.
We have to realize too that, you know, by doing acts in divine will and rounds in divine will, we can help the world that way. I mean, one act in the divine will is the greatest thing our Lord told Louisa, because it's an act of God. It's a divine act. And he was saying here, "My daughter, as you did your acts in my will, many sons were being formed between heaven and earth. And I look at the earth only through these sons. Otherwise, the earth would be so disgusting to me that I would not be able to look at it. But the earth receives little of these sons, because the darkness that creatures spread is such that it places itself in front of these sons, and they cannot receive of all their light, not their heat, nor their heat." So I think, you know, when you call Jesus into everything we do throughout the day, you have peace. All those people who are anxious out there and fearful of what's happening, if you want to get your peace back, call Jesus into every little act that you do, and you'll be shrinking. He'll be getting bigger in you. You'll be getting smaller. And when that happens, you'll be living more of a life of virtue. You'll be living more like him. You become like Jesus. And when you become like him, you're not going to be so distraught and so upset about everything that happens around you. He told Louisa, when you worry, you're out of his will. He doesn't want us to be worried and anxious. He wants us to be at peace. And when we're suffering, sometimes we have a friend of ours who's suffering very much right now. And she says, "Pray for me, because I can't pray for myself right now. I can't pray at all, because I can't pray." When you suffer so much, you can't pray. But the suffering is the prayer. The suffering is the greatest prayer. And so don't worry if you can't pray because you're suffering. Some people out there may be very ill. They find it difficult to pray, but realize that Jesus, lay on the bed or wherever you are, and let Jesus suffer in your suffering. And that suffering becomes a divine will suffering, a divine act, and it brings much grace to the whole world. So how are we going to change the world? by living in divine will. If you want to change the world, if you want to do something good for the world, you don't have to go out there and preach or do anything else. You just have to do acts and rounds and divine will, and the whole world will be transformed by that. Our Lord told Louisa, every act and round done in divine will touches every soul throughout the world as far as they open to the grace. And if they're open to the grace, they're being transformed. So you're transforming the whole world. Those people are not open to the grace, of course. It doesn't do them any good. But know that everything you do in divine will, you're helping the whole world, and you're helping each soul in the world.
Yeah, we're being given an opportunity, Mother, to be actually humble heroes in the greatest extent possible. You know, we'd be remiss if we said none of us wants to be a hero, you know, to come and help someone or people or any just cause. But this is the opportunity, like you mentioned, Mother, when we can do all of this work, because actually it's Jesus doing the work for us, in any circumstance we're in, whether we're in bed, whether we're in a chair, when we're in our house, we're out, it doesn't matter. Geographical location, physical impairments, anything. It's all financial capability. It's all available to us. That's what's so beautiful, if we want it. And that's what the Son of My Will explains too. Hello, sister.
Hello. Hi. Today, I was also reading The Passion of Hours of Passion, the seventh hour as well, just like the other sister. This is when the enemies were coming to take Jesus. This is what Jesus told Louisa. Oh, my soul, are you here? Have you then been spectator of my pains and of the so many deaths I suffered? Know that in these 3 hours of most bitter agony in the garden, I enclosed in myself all the lives of the creatures, and I suffered all of their pains and their very death, giving my own life to each one of them. My agonies will sustain theirs. My bitternesses and my death will turn into a fount of sweetness and life for them. How much souls cost me? Were I at least requited? You have seen that while I was dying, I would return to breathe again. Those were the deaths of the creatures that I felt within me. So Jesus, he loves one single soul so much as he loves all the souls together. In his bitter agony in the garden, he suffered all of our sins and our very deaths. While reading this passage, it really reminded me of this, the importance of the Mass. And because of his death, we live. And because of his sufferings and pain, our wounds get healed. Because of his blood, our sins are cleansed. He laid down his own life for us, and he died for us so that he can free us from the slavery of sin, so that we can become the children of God, and so that we can have eternal life with God the Father. He offered himself as a sacrificial victim once for all. In every Mass, it's happening. His incarnation, his death, and his resurrection take place on the altar. Jesus is offering himself on the cross as a holy Lamb of God to atone for our sins. As if it's not enough, he is giving his body, blood, soul, and divinity, his whole being to us in the form of Eucharistic life. It is truly happening in every Mass, before our own eyes. If we will be, we will be struck with awe if we can really see it spiritually, when the spiritual veil is ripped and lifted. And God loves us so much that he gave his only Son to die for us. And in the Bible, it says, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And Jesus loves us with that great love. And Mother Mary loves us so much that she gives her fiat to consent to God's will that Jesus die for our salvation. Jesus was more precious than her own life, but still she sacrifices God's Son for us. This is how much each of us is loved by God. We are all sinners, but before that, most importantly, we are children of God and very precious in the eyes of God. So in the reflection and practices, Saint Annibale di Francia, he's inviting us to be Jesus's angel who comforted Jesus in the garden. So he recommends us that to let us take sufferings as sent by God, and then it becomes the divine sufferings. Then we can console Jesus, who is so embittered. So with love and resignation, we should share in his pains and be his angels in return, who is so fully of loving us unto death. So we got to remember that whatever suffering or pain we might have, we got to remember that this is the call from Jesus to be his angel.
Amen. Thank you for that. And Sister Gloria, the way you pronounce St. Hannibal's name, it was a beautiful Italian accent. Where did you master that? Being in Italy, of course, right?
I was just reading here, Lord was just telling Louisa how the bad leaders, because of their self-interest and corrupted lives, have destroyed so much, have brought so much harm to the world. And he said, therefore, I will have the leaders struck in a special way. And Louisa says, Jesus, spare the leaders of the church. They're already few. If you strike them, the rulers will be missing. And Jesus says, don't you remember that I founded my church with 12 apostles? In the same way, those few who will remain will be enough to reform the world. The enemy is already at their doors. Revolutions are already in the field. Nations will swim in blood, and their leaders will be scattered. Pray, pray, and suffer so that the enemy may not have the freedom to reduce everything to ruin. So he's going to do much with just a few. So don't worry that you're just one out there. You know, you may be the only one in your little town reading the Divine Will or reading the Passion Book, but how much good you are doing in that little town with your focusing on Jesus, letting him do acts and rounds in you. And also, because when we do rounds, we're not doing it. Jesus is doing it. He's putting his I love you for us on everything that we're saying. I want to put my I love you on this, on that, or the other. It's Jesus in us putting the I love you. So it becomes a divine I love you. It's not from us. It's Jesus knowing that we desire it. He's doing it for us, and it's going to the Father to give the Father all the honor and glory he deserves. So that's how a round is a divine will round also, not a human thing. It's a divine thing.
Yeah, you mentioned about Jesus mentioning that, look what he did with 12 apostles. He also mentions to Louisa somewhere, I don't know what volume, he says, even if there's only one that desires my divine will, I would give it to you. Because if you think about it, you know, again, this gift is not for the individual, it's for all of humanity, past, present, and future. It only takes one conduit that God to work through. And to give this gift to all souls, past, present, and future. But of course, he says he's going to build a small army, and we pray that we're part of that small army. Sister?
Yeah, right. And Mother just mentioned earlier about the rounds, the divine will, and there's going to be few left in the end. Even the scripture says that Pope Benedict, when Pope Emeritus Benedict, he also said that in the end, it'll be the remnants, smaller group of faithful. And I would like to say with my meditation today, it all sums up to one word, and that is love. Because of all of our suffering that Jesus suffered for us, it's because of love. He loved us so much that he suffered so much more than anything else and died to the point of death for us. And to respond to that is to love him. And we know very well that love is not necessarily just emotions. Would be nice to have emotions and feelings, but it is our will, the desire that we have to want to love. And that requires actions, requires effort, requires hard work. But then love is not really truly love unless we go through suffering, through difficulties, through hard times. That's when we can test ourselves. Somebody's mentioned in the past when I was listening to some talks, it says, how do you know when you love someone, or how do you measure love? And I don't remember the exact phrase to say that, but they said that the measure of love is the amount of suffering we are willing to suffer, the amount of sacrifices we are willing to go through for the sake of love. Now, I was meditating on volume 35, August 9, 1937. It's a long read, and we don't have that much time. So I'm just going to read the part to where it talks about Jesus's most suffering. He mentions in the Passion that he suffers the most is the love. And here's repeated again in this volume 35, August 9, 1937. And just a phrase here, he says, if one loves, it is to be loved in return. Not having love returned is the hardest pain, a pain that makes one delirious. It is the most transfixing nail, which can be pulled out only by nebidazine, the balm of returned love. So basically, when we do our rounds, we are returning God's love for us through creation. When we say, I love you through the sky, all of the creations is returning to him love. And when we give love through our acts, asking Jesus to act in me, to do everything in me, in return of your love for me, and returning this love to him in our thoughts, in our actions, in our words, in everything that we do, to the point of becoming nothing, is returning love for Jesus, and it's consoling him. And even though there's only very few of us, that is enough. That is enough to really heal, to redeem, repair for all the injuries that caused by so many people, including ourselves when we do sin. So it's an opportunity for us just to remember that always. And again, the word attentiveness is what's really necessary. It's not so much with what I do, whether I do it right or not, judging. It's just about making it our awareness that Jesus is in us. And that is enough. I'm living in the moment, living in the present. Now is the eternity and attentiveness, Jesus doing in us, and we are nothing apart from him.
That's right. And now's all we have, sister. You're very right about that. And, you know, it's interesting too. A good point to make is that, you know, when we find passages that we really like, it's a nice thing to maybe copy and paste them into like a Word doc, or maybe even an email, and send it to ourselves and sort of categorize it, file it. I told you, all right, last week that my acts and rounds are filed under M for mother. Because mother speaks of acts and rounds. So I remember that very, very astutely. So I think it's really important to do. I have a quick quote I'd like to make also here. This is from the Liturgy of the Hours, saying to Hippolytus. He says, quote, when we have come to know the true God, both our bodies and souls will be immortal and incorruptible. Friends of God and co-heirs with Christ, we shall be subject to no evil, no evil desires or inclinations, or have any affliction of the body or soul, for we shall have become divine. End quote. So again, the divine will is all throughout our deposit of faith. Just another little example of that. Back to you, mothers and sisters.
Okay. I have a passage you can file under M, Peter. It's about rounds, as Sister Magdalena was talking about, that return of love. That was one of the passages that I had chosen for today. So I figured, let me read it now. It's from volume 29, July 17th, 1931. Then I continued my acts in the divine fiat, and my beloved Jesus added, my daughter, the creature is carried in the arms of my divine will, and its love is so great that it keeps all creation around her, as if in act it were always creating it, as if in act it were always, always creating it to give her pleasure and render her happy, and to say to her, my creative strength maintains all this machine of the universe. If it withdrew, the sun would disappear as if by magic. The heavens and all the other things would resolve into nothing, just as from nothing they came out. So my creative power keeps on creating it continuously, and can say in all reality, it is precisely for you that I am creating this sun, so that your life, your journey may be strewn with light. For you, the azure heavens, so that your eye may wander afar and delight in their extension. I'm creating everything for you. I maintain everything in order because I love you. My divine will makes itself life and act of all things. It sustains them and preserves them. It places them around the creature to make her feel from all things and from all sides. It's unmovable life, its immutable strength, its invincible love. It can be said that it clasps her everywhere as triumph of his love. And it maintains not only the external order and all things in act as if it were creating them, but it maintains internally with its creative strength, the whole internal order of the creature. So it is always an act of creating the heartbeat, the breath, the motion, the circulation of the blood, the intelligence, the memory, the will. It runs as life in the heartbeat, in the breath, in everything. It sustains and preserves without ever withdrawing from the soul and from the body. Yet this supreme will of mine is everything, does everything, and is not recognized, but rather forgotten. It can say, as I said to the apostles, I have been with you for so long and you still do not know me. Many things are made known that do not form the life of the creature, and of my will that forms the life and is continuous act of life. Otherwise, she could not live. Nothing is made known. Therefore, my daughter, be attentive, recognize it in you and outside of you, in everything more than your own life, and you will feel admirable things, its continuous act that loves you with untiring love. And only because it loves you, it gives you life. I have nothing to add. I think Jesus said it all. We just have to remember this, you know?
That was beautiful. Thank you, sister.
Just briefly, also, I forgot to mention, mother, sisters, the forgiveness is the big word. You know, like, for, we suffer so much. A lot of our suffering is really, really from the lack of forgiveness. And we can take on the Lord's example as he was hung on the cross. The seven last word, and the first word was, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It was, we listened to a talk, Father Mike Smith, and he talked about the last words that people do when they were dying. And so Jesus is the ultimate example. And when the word forgiveness comes to mind, because when we talk about cross and suffering, they're not always necessarily suffering that is given to us or allowed by Jesus. Of course, he allowed all the sufferings, but we make our own sufferings. And the number one suffering, I think, is one of them that really causes a lot of suffering is the lack of forgiveness and resentment. That was a big word. And so, Mother, I just would like to plug it in. And part of loving is forgiving ourselves and forgiving others.
I want to also quickly add about the forgiveness. This is also the eighth hour from the Passion Book. So Jesus, he was hearing the enemies were drawing near, so he tied himself up, and with promptness, he went to see that, to meet the enemies. And this is the passage. But again, I hear your most tender voice, which says, as you go to meet your enemies, who are you looking for? And they answer, Jesus the Nazarene. And you to them, it is I. With only this word, you say everything, and you let yourself be known for who you are, so much so that the enemies tremble and fall to the ground as though dead. And you, love which has no equal, repeating again, it is I, call them back to life. You give yourself on your own into the power of the enemies. It was really amazing while reading it that Jesus promptly gave himself into the hands of the enemies because he saw the will of God even in his enemies. And that is why he was able to forgive just right away. He was ready to forgive them. And today during my confession, the priest told me that Jesus, he didn't ask for repentance from the sinners, but and then he forgave. But without it, he just forgave. So this is kind of the mindset that we also have to learn from Jesus, that that if we really have to take everything given by God, and you will be less offended, and we will get hurt less, and we can forgive them. But also we need to do the accent rounds to call his mercy and forgiveness to do it, to call Jesus to do it in us.
Yeah, I think we have to forgive ourselves too before we can forgive others, you know. And look at Jesus within yourself and you'll see Jesus in everyone else. If you see Jesus in yourself, you'll find it easier to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. And if you then you'll find it easier to forgive others as you see him in others, but you need to see him within yourself first. So I encourage people to not only always encourage them to do acts around the divine will, but also to focus on the Trinity dwelling in your soul. You're a walking tabernacle. You are the temple of the Holy Trinity. And so realize that, realize the greatness that God is within you. He loves being with you. He wants to be with you, and he wants you to focus on his presence within.
That's so true. Yeah, everything is here. You know, it's also interesting too, Mother, that, our work is right now. You know, Jesus says, I forget what volume it's in, but he says the work is already done. There's nothing yet that needs to be done except to make it known. And again, that's to make it known to ourselves, of course, so we can share it. But even that's going to come to an end. Again, our scripture has it speaks of the divine will in every aspect. This is from Hebrews 8:11, quote, and they shall not teach their fellow citizens or brothers, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest, end quote. So we do our work now, and God does the work for eternity. It's beautiful. And what's also beautiful is you're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in our homes. Please remember Radio Maria during your monthly tidings. Mother, I have a little bit of a closing prayer here, and I know you can see it because we're on video. It's a handbook for today's Catholic children. This has the imprimatur, and this is for little children, but it's for us. We're little children. And this is going to be our closing prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God, as I gather with other people to worship you, I feel at home. I love being a part of your family. Thank you for sending Jesus to tell us about your love. Thank you for making me your child. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If that doesn't make you cry, nothing will. Thank you, Radio Maria. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Mother and Sisters. It's been a glorious day. We look forward to the opportunity, if God wills it, next week. Love everyone. Ciao.
All right. Thank-